Hare Krishna. So, welcome everyone for our Saturday evening satsang program. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirai Nashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriki Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatari Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurache Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So we have been discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So currently we are discussing second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And last time we were discussing Lord Brahma narrates different Leela avatars of the Lord. So the discussion has been going on between Lord Brahma and Shri Narad Dev. Narad Muni had asked some questions to Brahmaji. How does the creation happen? Is there anybody who is controlling this creation, or you are the one who is doing everything without anybody's involvement or without anybody's supervision? So in answer to those questions, Brahmaji described the process of creation that Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu, in his Purusha avatar, he does the process of creation, the primary creation known as Sarga. And after describing the whole process of creation, Brahmaji described that it is better to hear about various Leela avatars of the Lord, various incarnations of the Lord who appear in this material world at various times for various purposes. So Brahmaji narrated various Leela avatars, and at the end, Brahmaji said, hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, it removes all the impurities from the heart. So all that discussion was happening, this is also in relation to questions by Parikshit Maharaj, who had asked the same question about the process of creation to Shukdev Goswami. And Shukdev Goswami cited the discussion between Brahmaji and Narad Muni. So after all that discussion, after answering those questions, now the camera comes back to Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. They have been sitting in the banks of Ganges, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So now Shukdev Goswami is going to answer further questions of Parikshit Maharaj, or Parikshit Maharaj is going to ask even more questions to Shukdev Goswami for this discussion to continue. Because the whole process of hearing is based on questions and answers. So Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing all this description, first of all, he glorifies the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this whole description is so nectarian. And everybody should hear this descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam continuously. So when Brahmaji ended his talk to Narad Muni, saying that I have described to you this whole, whatever I had heard from the Lord personally, and whoever is hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, they have a responsibility. And what is that responsibility? That when you hear, you pass it on further. You spread that knowledge to others. You share that knowledge with others. You speak this Srimad Bhagavatam to others. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukdev Goswami, I am very eager to know how Sri Narad Muni spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to other people, how he described the glories of the Supreme Lord. I am very much interested in hearing how Narad Muni passed on this knowledge, how he preached to others. And as we know, Narad Muni, he is one of the great preachers. Right? His students are of various varieties, various type of people. From a king to a hunter to small boys. All category of people are Narad Muni's disciple, whom Narad Muni spoke the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from Narad Muni's character, we can understand the quality of a preacher. What quality we need to acquire to speak this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. A preacher must be very humble, and the preacher sometime need to go to the level of his audience to uplift them, to bring them to the higher level. For example, when Narad Muni is speaking to a king who is more attracted to the Karmakanda principles, King Prachinabhari, he was very much attracted to the whole Karmakanda process, performing various yagyas as a Karmakanda rituals for material benefits. So when Narad Muni came to that king, he spoke the message of Bhagavatam in such a way to uplift that king. He spoke in an indirect way, speaking about the story of King Puranjana. So after describing all that story, the King Prachinabhari finally understood this King Puranjana is nothing but myself. Narad Muni is speaking about me indirectly to bring me to the higher consciousness. Same way Narad Muni approaches another hunter, Mrighari. And Mrighari, his hunting style is he doesn't kill the animal in one shot. He kills them basically half dead to suffer in that situation. And Narad Muni, when he saw this hunter Mrighari, he came to that hunter and he said, why are you killing them half killing, half dead and half alive? Kill them fully. Narad Muni did not all of a sudden said, don't kill them. He said, you want to kill them fully. And this hunter was thinking, oh, this is also looks like the person from my category only. He is saying, kill them fully. Ye toh humare bhi ustad lag rahe hain. And eventually, Narad Muni brought him to the higher consciousness. Why are you killing? Why are you imposing so much suffering on these innocent animals? And he transformed that hunter into a great devotee. Narad Muni spoke to Dhruva Maharaj, who was just a 5-year-old boy going to the forest to find Lord Vishnu. And when Narad Muni came in front of Dhruva Maharaj, he told, why are you going to forest? You are just a 5-year-old boy. You should not take offense of the words of your stepmother. Better you just go home and involve in playing. Forget about all this insult and this ego mentality. Just go home. And Dhruva Maharaj, he said, if you can help me, then you talk to me. If you can show me the way, how I can find Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, you can please go. So when Narad Muni saw the determination of that small boy, then he instructed him that you go to the forest and engage in this process, in meditation on Lord Vishnu. And same way, Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni spoke to Kayadu when Prahlad was in the womb of Kayadu. And Prahlad Maharaj heard attentively and he remembered that message of Narad Muni. And he was a great devotee of the Lord. So we know from all these various descriptions, Narad Muni is a great preacher. He preaches in different styles to different audience. And same way, we need to learn that skill from Narad Muni to give this message to others in an appropriate way. So Parikshit Maharaj want to know how Narad Muni spoke this message of Srimad Bhagavatam to all other people. And he is glorifying this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Etad veditum icchami tattvam tattavidavaram harer adbhut viryasya kathaloka sumangala. So Parikshit Maharaj said, the discussions of the Supreme Lord, they are certainly auspicious for all the living entities throughout all the planets. Harer adbhut viryasya. The discussions of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord who possesses wonderful qualities, wonderful potencies. And his description, his katha, they are all very auspicious. Katha loka su mangala. Mangala. Mangal means auspicious. Su mangala. Very, very auspicious. For whom it is auspicious? Loka. Katha loka su mangalam. It is auspicious for all the living entities throughout all the planets. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it is auspicious for all the living entities residing in all the different planets. One cannot say that, oh, Bhagavatam is meant for only people residing in India or people only belonging to Hindu Dharma. That is a mistaken concept. It is beneficial for all variety of people. Jo Bhagavat katha hai, Bhagavat ka jo prachar hai, prasar hai, wo har jeev ke liye, har loko mein har jeev ke liye mangalmay hai. Aur Bhagavat hai kya? Bhagavat sare shastron ka सार है, सारे शास्त्रों का पका हुआ फल है. निगम कल्प तरोर गलितम फलम शुक मुकादमृतम द्रव संयुतम पिवत भागवतम रसमालयम मुहुरहो रसिका भुभि भावुकः. तो जो भागवत है वो क्या है? निगम कल्प तरोर गलितम फलम. जितने भी हमारे शास्त्र हैं, वैदिक शास्त्र हैं, उनका पका हुआ फल है. और सुखदेव गोस्वामी के मुख से लगने से इसके अंदर और भी ज्यादा रस आ गया है. जो भी भगवान के अनन्य भक्त हैं, जो भी भावुक हैं, भगवान के श्रद्धावान भक्त हैं, वो इस भागवत का रसपान करते हैं। तो भागवत हर जीव के लिए कल्याणकारी है। भागवत की कथा जब हो रही हो, तो अगर किसी को उसके अंदर श्रद्धा नहीं भी है, कोई उसको अगर सुनता है, तो भी उसको उसका फल प्राप्त होता है। अगर श्रद्धा से सुने तो सबसे ज्यादा फल प्राप्त होता है, पर अगर बिना श्रद्धा से भी सुने, किसी के कानों में भागवत कथा जा रही है, तो उससे उसका हृदय शुद्ध होगा, उसके अंदर पवित्रता आएगी। तो भागवत सारे ग्रंथों का, सारे शास्त्रों का पका हुआ फल है। और आजकल एक अलग ही भाव देखने को मिल रहा है। कुछ ऐसे कथाकार हैं जो भागवत की कथा करते हुए भागवत की कथा को सबसे श्रेष्ठ ना मानकर उसके अंदर अपना भावार्थ जोड़ना चाहते हैं। उनको लगता है कि समय के साथ साथ शास्त्रों में संशोधन किया जाना चाहिए, शास्त्रों में बदलाव किया जाना चाहिए, अन्य चीजें इसमें शामिल की जानी चाहिए। तो आजकल एक बहुत कॉमन ट्रेंड जो चल रहा है, जिसको लोग कथा जिहाद के नाम से बता रहे हैं। तो कुछ ऐसे कथाकार हैं, तथा कथित कथाकार, जो भागवत कथा को एक तरह से बेचते हैं, जो पैसे लेकर भागवत कथा करते हैं, भागवत कथा का सौदा करते हैं। पहले तो वो कभी भगवान की शुद्ध कथा नहीं दे सकते। जैसे प्रभुपाद जी हमेशा बोलते हैं कि भागवत का कभी भी भागवत को बेचा नहीं जाना चाहिए। जो लोग भागवत का 7 दिनों का ऐसे प्रवचन करते हैं लोगों से पैसा लेकर, वो कभी भी लोगों को सही भागवत का अर्थ नहीं समझा सकते और उनको पवित्रता प्रदान नहीं कर सकते। तो आजकल भागवत कथा के नाम पर क्या चल रहा है, व्यासासन पर विराजमान होकर, व्यासासन पर बैठकर कुछ लोग कुछ ऐसे गलत थलत बातों का प्रचार कर रहे हैं कि जैसे एक भागवत कथा कथाकार हैं कोई देवी जी, जो बोल रही हैं कि अगर जिस समय नमाज का अजाम हो रहा है, नमाज की आवाज आ रही है, तो हमें भी चाहिए कि हम अपनी भागवत कथा बंद कर दें और हम भी अल्लाह को प्रणाम कर लें। तो ये मेंटेलिटी क्या है? इससे हम बता रहे हैं कि जो भागवत है वो निमन है और अन्य जो हैं हमें उनको भी रिस्पेक्ट करना चाहिए। तो कथा के अंदर भी लोग धर्म निरपेक्षता को लेके आने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं, बोल रहे हैं कि हमें उनको भी सम्मान देना चाहिए अपनी कथा रोक कर। तो अगर हम अपनी भागवत कथा कर रहे हैं, जो कि सब शास्त्रों का प्रमाण है, सार है, सर्वश्रेष्ठ है, उस समय पर हमें किसी और को प्रसन्न करने की जरूरत नहीं है। अगर आप अपनी कथा कर रहे हो और कोई अपने धर्म का पालन कर रहा है, तो आप किस तरह से किसी का अपमान नहीं कर रहे हो? इनका कहना है कि अगर हम अपनी भागवत कथा बंद नहीं कर रहे हैं और उनको प्रणाम नहीं कर रहे हैं, तो एक तरह से उनका अपमान हो जाएगा। और एक्चुअल में देखा जाए तो आपकी भागवत कथा जो आप बंद कर रहे हो, भगवान के नामों का गुणगान जो बंद कर रहे हो, आप एक तरह से अपने सनातन धर्म का, अपने शास्त्रों का, भगवान का निरादर कर रहे हो। किसी और के भगवान का निरादर तब होगा जब आप उनको उनका धर्म का पालन करने से रोक रहे हो। और एक ऐसे ही और सज्जन हैं जो भागवत कथा, राम कथा करते हैं, और राम कथा करते करते भगवान राम के नाम का उच्चारण बंद करके वो अली मौला अली मौला अली मौला का उच्चारण कर रहे हैं। बोल रहे हैं मेरे अंदर से निकल रहा है ये। तो उनको लगता है कि कोई अन्य नाम, भगवान का कोई अन्य नाम, कोई अल्लाह बोल रहा है या कोई क्राइस्ट बोल रहा है, तो कोई बोल रहा है, तो वो भगवान के पवित्र नामों से, कृष्ण से, राम के नाम से श्रेष्ठ हो गया कि उनके नाम का उच्चारण बंद करके मुझे किसी अन्य नामों का उच्चारण करना चाहिए। तो एक तरह से नाम अपराध है। जो हम 10 नाम अपराध की बात करते हैं, उसमें बोलते हैं किसी और के नामों को भगवान के नाम से श्रेष्ठ समझना और उनसे उनसे इक्वल समझना, वो नाम अपराध माना जाएगा। So consider the names of any other personality to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram, Lord Krishna. It's a great offense. So some people are bringing about these sort of degraded things in while doing Bhagavad Katha, Ram Katha also. That is a degradation of the Vedic Sanskriti, Vedic culture, Sanatana Dharma, insult of Srimad Bhagavatam actually. But why are these people doing such things? They may be under many different influences. Somebody may be under the influence of some fear that somebody has been forced to speak like that, or somebody is getting a monetary benefit. Somebody is getting paid to speak like that to bring down the Sanatana Dharma and uplift other sideline, the new dharmas which are coming up, popping up, and people are forcibly trying to impose upon these things. In Islam, what is the famous thing? There are many so-called preachers who try to indirectly influence the people, followers of Sanatana Dharma, saying that in your scripture, it is mentioned that the Lord's incarnation as Kalki Avatar will come. And actually, Muhammad, he is Kalki Avatar. And in your scripture, it is mentioned the last incarnation of God will be Kalki Avatar. So Muhammad has already appeared. He is Kalki Avatar and everybody should submit to him. So indirectly, they are brainwashing people, spoiling the intelligence mind of people to attract them to their substandard dharma. Last time we discussed the various avatars of the Lord, which describe so many different incarnations of the Lord. And nowhere in the scripture it is mentioned that any incarnation can be considered as the last incarnation. This is a cyclic process. First of all, the time is cyclic. The Yuga, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga, they keep going on. And the Lord take appearance in different Yugas at different times. So at no point we can say, okay, final one incarnation has come and that is the last incarnation. And nowhere it says in our Vedic scriptures that the later incarnation is superior to the previous incarnations. Because they claim the last incarnation, Kalki, which is going to come, or Muhammad is Kalki, and he is superior to any other avatar. So everybody should surrender to him. So all these sort of distorted concepts are brought into the society and people get influenced by this so much of propaganda, either because of ignorance, because there is no systematic knowledge, teaching given on the Shastras. So the responsibility of somebody speaking on these scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, it is the responsibility of the speaker to convey the right message in its tattva so that people can get the benefit. And overall in Srimad Bhagavatam itself in the beginning, what does Srimad Bhagavatam say? Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all the ketva dharma, the substandard dharmas, dharma projita ketva tra parmo nirmat saranam satam, vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam, Srimad Bhagavate mahamuni krite kimva parairishwarah, sadhya hridaya varudhyate kritibhi shushrubhi tatkshana. Srimad Bhagavat mahamuni krite. Srimad Bhagavatam is composed by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity. Kimba parairishwara, there is no need of any other scriptures, any other substandard processes. So why the so-called Kathakar of Bhagavatam will bring in substandard principles while speaking Bhagavad Katha? The principles of Bhagavatam itself is so pure. They are polluting the mind of innocent people. So Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly very dear scripture for all the devotees of the Lord. But it is auspicious even for the non-devotees. Katha Lok Sumangala, the Srimad Bhagavatam Katha is auspicious for all living entities throughout all planetary system. So even the people who do not know anything about Bhagavatam, even if they hear the Katha of Bhagavatam, their influence of this material energy, this Maya, that can also be removed. They can also be freed from these clutches of Maya. So Srimad Bhagavatam is such a pure granth, pure scripture. One do not need to bring in one's own concoctions in that. Kathyasva Mahabhaga Yatha Aham Akhilatmani Krishne Niveshya Nisangam Manastakshay Kalevaram. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind onto the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, so that I can become freed from all the influences of these material qualities, material gunas. Thus, in that way, I can give up my body. Manastakshay Kalevaram. Because we know Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. And he is engaged in the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he wants to continue hearing Srimad Bhagavatam without any break. And we are saying, oh, we can break our katha for some so-called substandard principles. Shukdev Goswami is saying, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so I can absorb my mind into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. He is not feeling any hunger, any thirst. He is not feeling tired. He is not feeling sleepy. For continuous 7 days without taking any break, he wants to hear. And that is the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam, how one should hear. So what are the benefits of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Why it is so important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? So Parikshit Maharaj glorifies Bhagavatam in next couple of verses. Before putting his further questions, he is saying the importance of this topics of Lord Krishna. So what is the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly? Parikshit Maharaj says the Lord manifests in the heart without delay. Shrunvataha shraddhaya nityam granatascha swacheshtitam kalena nati dhirgena bhagwan vishate hriday. Person who hears Srimad Bhagavatam with full faith, regularly, with complete seriousness, with full personal endeavor, the Supreme Lord will personally appear, manifest in their heart within a short time. Kalen na ati dhirghena. Na ati dhirghena. Without long delay. Within a short time, Lord will appear in the heart. Bhagwan Vishte Hriday. So the Supreme Lord appears in the heart. He is already sitting in our heart, but we are not able to see him. We are not able to perceive his presence in our heart. So what does it say is Lord will manifest within our heart. We will be able to see the Lord in our heart, perceive his presence in his heart, in our heart. But what is the process of hearing Bhagavatam Katha for the Lord to appear in our heart? Yes, Bhagavatam give benefit to everybody. If somebody hears without, with belief or without belief, with concentration or without concentration, everybody will get some benefit. Slowly, slowly they will get some benefit. But to get the most benefit out of it, what is the criteria or what is the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Shunvata Shraddhaya Nityam. So first quality is Shraddhaya. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with full faith. Faith in the topic and faith in the speaker. And then nityam, regularly. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam Katha regularly. Not that, okay, I will hear. Once in my lifetime, I heard Srimad Bhagavatam. I went to a 7-day Katha satsang and I heard Bhagavatam. Now I know. No. Process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is regularly. Again and again and again. And how one should hear? Granathas. With full seriousness. Not casually. It's not that somebody has invited me to Katha. Somebody keep telling, come. So just because I am feeling pressured, so I just go to show my face. Not like that. With full seriousness. Swacheshtitam. With self-endeavor. Personal endeavor. कोई आपको जबरदस्ती कथा सुना दे बिठा के तो उसका इतना फल नहीं मिलेगा जितना आप अपनी इच्छा से बैठ के अपनी चेष्टा से अपना प्रयत्न करके अटेंटिवली कथा सुनेंगे. शुणवतः श्रद्धया नित्यम घृणतश्च स्वचेष्टिताम कालेन न अति दीर्घेन भगवान विष्टे हृदय. द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विल मैनिफेस्ट इन द हार्ट. We know there are so many different Bhagavad Katha going on. There are people who have different sort of mentalities of doing Bhagavad Katha. Some people consider doing Bhagavad Katha also as a karma kandi process, as a ritualistic ceremony. If I do Bhagavad Katha, it will bring auspiciousness. It will give me some material prosperity. It will remove my sinful reaction so that I can elevate myself to Swarga or my ancestors to Swarga. So people do this Bhagavad Katha for many different reasons. But the main reason, the actual reason of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, to bring purity in the heart. To purify our consciousness, our heart, and engage in the service of the Lord. Hiring a professional speaker to speak on Bhagavad Katha for 7 days, it cannot bring that result. So Prabhupada write in the purport, the cheap devotees or the materialist devotees of the Lord, they are very much desirous to see the Lord personally, but without developing the required qualification. So such third grade devotees should know very well that the material attachment and seeing the Lord face to face cannot go together. Somebody having the material desires and having the desire to see the Lord face to face cannot go together. So it is not such a mechanical process that the professional reciters of Bhagavatam can do the job on behalf of these third grade materialistic devotees. If we really want to get the benefit, we need to develop these qualities. A lot of people do a big festival, pandal programs to hear Bhagavatam, 7-day session. And they think we can gain some pious karma with that. Bhagavatam can bring auspiciousness, no doubt. But that should not be the purpose. Purpose should not be to get some material prosperity or some piety by hearing Bhagavatam. The ultimate result of hearing Bhagavatam is Sradhyo Hridaya Varudhyate Kritibhi Shushrubhis Tatkshana. If somebody genuinely with full desire, determination, hear Bhagavad Katha, Lord appear in his heart. Tatkshana. Immediately. He become fixed in the heart of that person. And what does Lord do by appearing in the heart of such devotee, such person? He cleanses that heart. So when Lord appear in the heart, what is the result of Lord's appearance in the heart? He cleanses the dirt accumulated in the heart. Pravishtah karna randhrena swanam bhava saroruham Dhunoti kshamalam Krishna salilasya yatha sharat. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna in the form of this Srimad Bhagavatam, when it enters through our ears, Pravishta Karanarandhrena, from the holes of these ears, Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound vibration enters, and through the ears it goes into the heart. Swanam Bhava Saroruham. And there the Lord sits on the lotus flower of our heart. Swanam Bhava Saroruham. Dunoti Shamalam Krishna. So what does Lord do by sitting in our heart? Dunoti Shamalam. It cleanses away all the impurities in the heart. What kind of impurities are there in our heart? All these anarthas. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad, matsarya. These are the anarthas which are residing in our heart. And the Lord takes up the job of a cleaner. He cleans our heart. He takes a broom in his heart and sweeps our floor to clean, to remove all these impurities from the heart. Salilasya yathah sharat. And it is compared like the autumn rain. When the rain in the fall season falls, it cleanses all the pools which were accumulated with muddy water. Salilasya yathah sharat. And that is the job of Krishna, what he does by entering in our heart. So Bhagwan Kamvali bhai ka role kar rahe hain. Apne haath mein jhadu lekar hamare hriday mein. Bhagwan apna jhadu laga rahe hain in impurities ko saaf karne ke liye hamare hriday se. There are so many different processes which are considered to remove the influence of sinful reaction. So in different scriptures, there are different processes mentioned as karma kanda, doing some sort of prayaschitta to remove the sinful reaction, or the process of jnana, or the process of ashtanga yoga. There are various processes described, and these are considered as to purify the heart, to remove the sinful reaction from the heart. So if we consider the process of prayaschitta, the process of karma kanda ceremonies, when somebody does prayaschitta, it can remove the result of sinful action. It can remove the sinful reaction, but still it does not purify the heart. The desires to commit those sinful actions still remains in the heart. Those tendencies still remain in the heart. So later on in Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj heard about this process of prayaschitta, this karmakanda process, he said, I do not believe in this process of prayaschitta. This process of prayaschitta is just like the bathing of an elephant. So he says, prayaschittam atho aparatham mannay kunjara shochavat. I consider this process of prayaschit as the bathing of an elephant. As an elephant may go in the river, filling up his trunk with water, splash that water on himself, cleanse himself. But as soon as he comes out of the river, on the bank of the river, he again rolls in the dirt, puts the dirt on his body. So what is the use of taking such bath? So similarly, that is the karmakanda rituals, the process of prayaschitta. One can do process of prayaschitta, perform some yajna or some puja to remove the influence of sinful activities. But the tendencies to commit those sinful actions still remain. And he again engages in the same sinful activities. Like Prabhupada quote many times in his purports, people go to churches. In the church, people will do what you call as prayaschit or
atonement.
Not atonement, it's confession. Right? People will do confession in front of the priest that, oh, I performed this sinful activity in this whole week, this, that, please forgive me, ask the Lord for forgiveness and all. So they go to churches, pray like that, and again their whole life continues. Again those sinful, committing same sinful activities. So what is the point of like doing that kind of confession or that kind of atonement? So the process of prayaschitta, temporarily it can remove the sinful reaction, but it does not purify the heart. And then one may say, okay, process of jnana, that can purify the heart. Yes, the process of jnana, when the ignorance is removed, the heart becomes purified. The result of sinful reaction is eradicated. But again, the jnana also not fully relinquish the heart from all the tendencies of committing sinful action. So this is compared like the forest fire. So when there is a fire in the forest, it may burn up all the bamboo trees in the forest, and it can clean the whole forest. Similarly, the jnana process, it can remove the sinful tendencies or sinful reactions, but the tendencies are still deep rooted in the heart. And moreover, the process of jnana, even if it removed the sinful activities, it did not bring the senses in positive engagement. So during the forest fire, all the bamboo trees may be burnt, but after the fire has been pacified, again there is rain, the seed which is still lying in the ground, that will sprout, and the trees again grow in the forest. So same way, during the process, by using the process of jnana, the sinful reaction has been cleansed, but the seed, that kutam, is still there in the heart, which again sprouts. And one may still end up committing sinful activities. There are different examples of fires in the scripture. There are different type of fire explained in scripture. So one is a forest fire, which can destroy all the trees. But again, because the seed is lying in the ground, the tree can again grow. There is another fire, the burning fire. As much as the firewood is put into this fire, it can consume all the fire. So the process of bhakti, the process of shravanam is considered, is compared with that fire. So no matter how much firewood you supply in that fire, it consumes all the fire. It removes. So bhakti can remove all the sinful reaction, the big mountains of sinful reaction, it can burn to ashes. And there is another fire which is explained. It comes in the third canto of Bhagavatam, when Kapil Dev is describing the process of bhakti to Mother Devahuti. So in that, Kapil Dev describe another set of fire, the fire of digestion. So what does the fire of digestion do? So when the food goes into the stomach, this digestion fire, Jatharagni, it burns up all that food. But this Jatharagni, it discriminates between the different ingredients of this food. It burns up all the waste elements in the food and send it to secretion, to be thrown out of the body. But it absorbs the nutrients from the food, and those nutrients are sent to energize the body, to give strength to the body, to nourish the body. So same way, this process of bhakti is like the digestion fire. It can destroy all the sinful reaction, but at the same time, it purifies the senses. It destroys the material senses, but uplifts or invoke the spiritual senses, engage the senses in the service of the Lord. So that is the process of bhakti, how it compares with other processes of jnana, ashtanga, and karma kanda or the atonement process. All other processes may be able to destroy some sinful reaction, but they cannot destroy the sinful tendencies, the sinful desires in the heart. But on the contrary, process of bhakti, not only it destroys the sinful reaction, but it engages the senses in positive engagement, in service of the Lord. So that's why in this verse, the process of hearing is compared like the rain in the autumn season. In the summer, when there is monsoon rain, because of the heavy rains, even the big reservoir of the water, the ponds, actually they become filled with muddy water. But during the fall, the autumn rain, when it falls in this pond, it removes that muddy water. It purifies these reservoirs of water. And that is how the process of Shravanam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, cleanse our heart, make it a suitable place for the Lord to come in our heart and be seated in our heart. So in Padma Purana, it describes that those engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Lord, they are freed from all the reactions. Aprarabdha phalam papam kutam bijam palon mukham kramaneva praliyate vishnur bhakti ratatmanam. So palon mukham, that is the manifested reaction of our karma, prarabdha karma. Aprarabdha phalam, that is the result which has not fructified yet, but it is in the form of the seed. The result has not matured yet. So there is some reaction which we are facing right now that is called prarabdha. And some reaction is which is in the aprarabdha stage, has not fructified yet. And then papam. Papam is the sinful action, committing sinful action. Kutam. Kutam is sinful tendencies which are in our heart. And bijam is sinful desires. The desire to act in sinful way. So these are the various things which ultimately lead to committing sinful action. Kutam bijam, that leads to papam, and then papam lead to prarabdha and aprarabdha. So process of bhakti removes all these elements from the heart. Kramaneva praliyate, gradually in order, all these are removed from the heart. So bhakti is so potent. It removes the prarabdha. It removes aprarabdha also. And it has the potency to remove the kutam and bijam, the tendencies to commit those sinful activities and the desires to commit those sinful activities. So how do we understand this kutam and bijam? For example, if a child out of ignorance, he goes and put his hand in the fire. Now fire is not going to say, oh, it is just a child, so I will not going to burn him. When you put the hand in the fire, nobody, no matter if it's a child or a matured person, the fire is going to burn the hand. So because of that ignorance, somebody is attracted to the fire, gets the desire to put his hand in the fire. So that desire, that bijam, what will the effect of that? As soon as you touch the fire, right, that is action. And immediately there is feeling of burning sensation. That is prarabdha, right? The result which you are experiencing right now. So that is a simple example to understand the desire, the action and reaction, prarabdha. The same way, let's consider another example. So if somebody has the desire to drink, because of that desire, that bijam, somebody goes and drinks the liquor, intoxication, And by drinking intoxication, there is immediate result. That immediate result is, first of all, somebody spent his money, somebody wasted his money. And as a result of getting intoxicated, he will come at home and fight with his family members, beat up his wife and his children, and make a chaos in the home. So that is prarabdha. Because of the desire to drink, he committed the act of drinking, getting intoxicated. And because of that, the immediate reaction is money is lost, money is wasted, and beating up the family member. And there is some other reaction also which has not fructified yet, but it is going to come. He may in future get some diseases, the liver problem, kidney problem, all those things are still in the process in waiting. That is aprarabdha, which has not fructified yet, but it is in the process. And by keep drinking this, he forms an habit. So that impressions are stored in the heart, which further gives the desire to again and again drink. So that habit forming, those impressions which are stored in the heart, that is kutam, the tendencies. And that kutam again brings that cycle of bringing the desire out to drink. And by drinking, again that prarabdha and aprarabdha goes on. So it forms up a cycle. So aprarabdha, prarabdha, papam, kutam, bijam. All these are all because of, ultimately they start from ignorance. So the process of bhakti is so potent, it removes all these elements gradually in sequence. And it purifies the heart completely. Sometimes we may see the child, right? Child is very innocent. As a small child, he may not have any symptoms of any lusty desires. But that kutam, that tendencies are stored in the heart, and as the child maybe gets that environment, these sinful tendencies come out. As a person matures, gets into puberty and becomes adult, all those tendencies wake up, brings about the desire to engage in this kind of lusty activities. But the lusty tendencies are still there. It may be pacified for time being, and as the environment becomes available, those tendencies wake up. And that is what happened in the case of Ajamila. Even though Ajamila was engaged in the study of the scriptures, in the process of Karmakanda rituals, all those tendencies which were there in the heart were still in the sleeping mode. But as he got that environment, he saw a prostitute, a Shudrani and a Shudra embracing in that lusty way. So those lusty tendencies woke up in his heart, and it brought about the desire, bijam, to engage in the similar activity. So this kutam and bijam, this is there in the heart, which need to be purified. And only the process of bhakti can purify these tendencies and desires. And it engages the senses in positive way in the service of the Lord. So for those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, all the sinful reaction, whether they are in the fructified stage or in the unfructified stage in the form of stalk or seed, they all gradually vanish. So not only it cleanses the heart, not only the process of bhakti cleanses the heart, but it develops the good qualities also. Shamalam dhunoti Krishna. So Krishna purifies the heart from all the wrong tendencies, wrong desires, but at the same time, it develops good qualities also. So not just getting rid of bad qualities, but developing good qualities. And one of the greatest quality of a devotee is to giving respect to everybody. when we just come in the process, in the beginning, newcomer, what do we say as a neophyte devotees, naive, who doesn't know anything in the process in the beginning. We come to the temple, we come to the association of devotees, and we pay obeisances to everybody. Right? Somebody comes to the temple and is paying obeisances to everybody. Dandavat pranam, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam, Mataji. Going to everybody and even to the children also. Showing respect to each and everybody. And somebody may think, oh, this person, he doesn't even know. He is showing respect to small children. He is showing respect to his juniors also. So somebody may feel like that. But actually showing respect to everybody, there is no harm in that. As somebody progresses more, becomes seasoned in the process, somebody has been coming to association of devotees, coming to temple for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Now we get the impression, oh, now I know a lot. Now I have become senior. So I don't have to pay respect to youngers. I don't have to pay respect to juniors than me. So he started picking and choosing whom I should give respect, whom I don't need to give respect. Somebody start thinking, oh, I am a better singer, I am a better speaker, I can speak better, I can dance better, I can cook better, I can make others dance. So all those sort of tendencies start coming in. Actually giving respect to everybody, even to your juniors, to children, to anybody you meet, there's no harm in that. But if where you gave respect to somebody who does not deserve respect, there is no loss in that. But if you did not give respect to somebody who deserves respect, then there is harm. So the quality of a devotee is to be humble, to give, offer respect to everybody. And the engaging in the process of bhakti, engaging in the process of preaching, it's a very difficult process in one sense. It teaches humility. It forcibly brings one to the level of humility. There are so many examples we hear from scriptures. The example of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they go to the houses of everybody to preach to them, to give them the holy name. They knock on the doors and they will ask them, please chant the holy name. And people will chastise them. Somebody even to the extent will say, oh, if you come again, we are going to call 911. We are going to call the cops. At that time, there were no cops. They will say, we will complain to the king, to the Nawab. So there are always threats. The devotee has to be very humble in this process of spreading Krishna consciousness, giving the nectar of Krishna to others. This is a thankless job. In the same way, we hear about Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was beaten up in 21 marketplaces. But a devotee of the Lord is always ready to go through any inconvenience to spread the holy name, to give the message of the Lord. And he is merciful to everybody. With the in contact of a humble devotee, even a most sinful person, more degraded person can become qualified, can become elevated to engage in the service of the Lord. When a prostitute came in contact with Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur showed his mercy on the prostitute also. He thought, with my behavior, I can elevate this prostitute also. She actually was sent by a person envious of Haridas Thakur to defame him. But Haridas Thakur, knowing that intention, he told that prostitute, okay, you sit, I will satisfy your desire. Let me first finish my chanting of the holy name. So she is sitting and Haridas Thakur kept chanting all night. But she is sitting and The holy name is entering into her ears. So one night, two night, three night it went on. And after three nights with hearing, from hearing Haridas Thakur, the pure chanting of the holy name, she became so much purified that she gave up everything. She shaved her head. She distributed all her wealth to the people. She renounced everything and started chanting the holy name, sitting next to Tulsi Devi, Tulsi Maharani. So by coming in the association of a humble, pure devotee, even a most degraded person can become purified. So we need to develop that sort of qualities, the purity of the heart, the humility in the heart, so we can spread this Krishna consciousness, this chanting of the holy name to others. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speak about the qualities one need to develop. So in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speak about Devi Prakriti. So here, Lord Krishna described 20 qualities a devotee should acquire. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahinsa, kshantir, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shocham, sthairyam, atma, vinigraha, indriyartheshu, vairagya, mana, ahankara, evacha, janam, mrityu, jaravayadhi, dukha, dosha, anudarshanam, asaktir, anabhishtvangah, putra, dhara, grahadishu, nityam, cha, samittatvam, ishta, anishto, upapatishu. So it like that Lord Krishna goes on describing 20 qualities one should acquire. So if we speak about all these 20 qualities, we'll be sitting here all night. So I just want to focus on this first two qualities. Amanitvam, adambitvam. Amanitvam, that is humility. Adambitvam, pridelessness. So there are two words in Sanskrit. People use it interchangeably actually, but there is a very vast difference in the two words, man and dambh. Man, what is man? Man means pride. Man means expecting the respect. Okay. And what is the difference in man and dambha? See, man is having that sense of pride because of some of the qualities one may have. Somebody has some good qualities. Somebody is a very learned scholar. Somebody is a good painter. Somebody is a good poet. Somebody can sing nicely. So somebody has some good qualities. And because of that qualities, this pride comes in the heart. That is man. And what is dambha? Dambha means even somebody doesn't have any good qualities, still he is so proud. Man is because of some qualities, some is pride. Dambha is without having any good quality, one is becoming very proud. So one should not be proud for any reason. Amanitvam, adambitvam. So man or dambh, dono ko tyag karna hai, dono ko chhodna hai. Dambh is even worse. Man kuch hai aapke andar, iski wajah se aapke andar ghamand aa gaya. Dambh kuch nahi hai, phir bhi ghamand hai. So giving up this pride, this ahankar, and developing genuine humility, that is the great quality we need to develop, we need to cultivate. And so many places actually Krishna speak about that. In Bhagavatam, it describes this quality. Simplicity of heart, humility, that is the most important quality. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks in Shikshashtakam. Trinadapi shunichena, trorapi sahishnona, amanina manadena, kirtanya sadahari. Not expecting respect from others, I'm giving respect to everybody. In that humble state of mind, one can always chant the holy name. If we are having pride in the heart, we are having expectation, expecting respect from other, then our consciousness become entangled in these things only. So in that context, actually, there is a very beautiful story from Mahabharata. We know when the Kurukshetra war was going to start, all the different warriors from different part of the world, where they were joining the sides of the Pandavas or the Kauravas. And uncle of Pandavas, Marashalya, he was also coming to join on the side of Pandavas. And Duryodhana, on the way, he made arrangement for his comfort, his stay. And Marashalya thought it is arranged by Yudhishthira. So he accepted all those facilities. Later on, Duryodhana went there and Shalya had taken a kind of a vow or promise that whoever had arranged all this for me, I'm going to fight from his side. So Duryodhana came there and Shalya said, I'm going to fight from the side of Yudhishthira. And Duryodhana said, no, you said you are going to fight on the side of whoever made these arrangements. These arrangements are not made by Yudhishthira. I made these arrangements. So you have to fight on my side. So he cheated Shalya and Shalya had to fight on the side of the Kauravas. He had no desire to fight. And Karna, he also played a trick. He said, Arjuna has a great charioteer. He has Krishna as his chariot driver. I will also like to have a very superior personality as my chariot driver. So he told Shalya, you become my chariot driver. That you drive my chariot, so you will, then it will be equal. Krishna will be driving chariot of Arjuna, you drive my chariot. So Shalya accepted that proposal. And during the war, we know Karna did not participate in the war until Bhisham Pitama was there in the war. And Shalya, whenever he tried to give good counsel to Karna, Karna always insulted Shalya that your role is to drive my chariot. Aapko nokar ka kaam diya gaya hai, aap sirf wo kaam karo. Mujhe siksha dene ki koshish mat karo. See, on the other side, Arjuna is taking guidance from Krishna. Arjuna told Krishna, Karishye vachanam tava, I will do whatever you say. My chariot is in your hand. You can take it anywhere. Jiske saath aap bologe, uske saath yudh karunga. Aur Shalya ne Karan ko kuch advice dene ki koshish kiya, to Karan ne unko patkar diya. Aap mujhe siksha dene ki koshish mat karo, naukar ho, naukar ban ke raho. So actually Shalya finally said, oh, I am not going to participate, I am leaving. And before leaving, he was actually always using harsh word towards Karna. And once he told one story to Karna, he told a story that once there was a very opulent Brahmana. The Brahmana was so opulent. He had all the facilities in his house. He had a big house, big gardens. Now the children of the Brahmana, they were wearing nice dresses, nice clothes, and they were eating nice food stuff. Kaju, badam, kishmish. So they were eating all this nice food stuff and they will leave some of these things in their plate and feed, just leave it there for the crow to come and eat. So one crow used to come and he used to eat those leftover kaju, kishmish, badam from the plates of those brahmanas' children. So this one crow who was continuously eating this nice opulent food, he became very fat, hatta katta, and he developed so much pride in his heart. He started thinking, I am so great. So once the swans were flying, so this crow went to the swans. He told, see, I am the best among all the birds. Kauwa jo hai, wo sabse shreshth hai. Hanson se bhi shreshth hai. See, I will show you some tricks. See what all I can do. So the crow, he started showing the circus. He will go fly up and then roll, coming, circling down, he will come down. So he started showing different tricks. So the swans did not pay any attention. He saw, this is Crow has gone crazy. Let him do whatever he wants to do. But the crow said, no, 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 I am very superior among all the birds. I can do anything all other birds can do. So the swans started flying. And the crow also started flying in the middle of the swans. The swans were flying over the ocean, flew for a few miles, and the crow was also flying, but ultimately the crow got tired. Now he does not have any more strength to fly. He started coming down and down, started coming down closer to the water of the ocean. His beak touched the water. Ultimately, his wing touched the water. He does not have any more strength to fly. His wings started getting wet, became heavy. He could not fly anymore and he was drowning in the ocean. At that time, the swans came and lifted him up and brought it back to the shores of the ocean and left him there. So the crow was trying to compare himself with the swans. He became so much proud in his heart. So Shalva, he told this story to Karna. Now, what is the crow in this story? Karna, you are the crow. The children of the Brahmana, who are that children? That is Duryodhana. Duryodhana gave you the kingdom. He made you the king of that Angadesh. That is like throwing to you the Kaju Kishmish Pista. And taking that, you became very proud. You started comparing yourself with the great personalities like Bhishma, Dronacharya, Arjuna and all. You started thinking, I am equal with them. I am as superior, as equal with them, or even superior than them. So Shalva told this story to hurt the pride of Karna. And similarly, there is another story which reflects the mood of a great personality. How somebody need to consider himself humble rather than getting that sense of pride. Again, story from Mahabharata, story of Yudhishthira and Duryodhana. Both were studying through Dronacharya. And once Dronacharya called both of them, one at a time, he told Yudhishthira, you go and try to find somebody less qualified than you. So Yudhishthira Maharaj went throughout the city. Whomever he saw some good quality in others. Even the Shudras, at that time, they were observing austerities. They were observing their fasting on Ekadashis and all. So Yudhishthira, after going through all the places, because he had the eyes of a great devotee who could not see the fault in others, he was able to see some good quality in everybody. And he thought everybody superior than himself. He came back to Dronacharya and told, I could not find anybody less qualified than me. Everybody is superior to me. Everybody has so many good qualities. And Dronacharya had called Duryodhana and told Duryodhana, Duryodhana, you go try to find somebody who is superior than you. So Duryodhana went. And whomever he saw only faults. He could not find anybody who was better than Duryodhana. So he came back to Dronacharya and told, I could not find anybody. Main hi sabse zyada shreshth hun. Mere se zyada shreshth koi nahi hai. So then Dronacharya called Yudhishthira and Duryodhana, both of them. He told Yudhishthira, you were saying there is nobody lesser than you. This Duryodhana is lesser than you. And Duryodhana, you thought there is nobody superior than you. Yudhishthira is superior than you. So what is the difference in the mood of Yudhishthira and Duryodhana? One is having so much dumbha in his heart. Even though he doesn't have any qualities, but he is so much proud of his being born in a king family, he is thinking, I am the most superior. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is so humble, even though he is superior than others, he is thinking, nobody is less qualified than me. I am most insignificant. I am lower than everybody. Same way one person came to Vrindavan. He went to Radhakund to one Babaji. He wanted to take Diksha from the Babaji. And this Babaji told this person that you have to pass a test. You have to go around and try to find somebody who is less qualified than you. So this Babaji gave him the time for 1 week to find somebody who is more qualified than him or somebody who is basically less qualified than him. So everywhere this person went, he was finding faults in others. He could not see anybody better than himself. So these days were passing by. Sometime he will go take bath. While coming bath, somebody is sweeping on the street and this dust came upon him. And he started chastising that sweeper. See, you, what did you do? You throw all the dust on me. So he was so arrogant, fighting with everybody, thinking everybody inferior than him. So the days were passing, final day, seventh day, it was coming. And he was coming, taking bath from the river. As he was coming, going to his guru, he saw one rickshaw puller. And seeing the rickshaw puller, first thought came to his mind, oh, he is such a low-class person, inferior person. He doesn't do anything. I am such a great person. I am chanting the holy name. I am accepting a guru. He is such a low-class person. So as he was thinking like that, at that time, one sadhu came and sat in the rickshaw. And this rickshaw puller is taking that sadhu to his place, wherever he is trying to go. Now this person thought, oh, I was thinking this person, rickshaw puller, inferior person, low grade person, but he is serving the sadhus. How can he be lower or inferior? He is a great person who is serving the saintly person. So then that feeling came in his heart. And as he went little distance, he saw a pile of gobar, what do you call as a cow dung. And in that cow dung, he saw some worm. And immediately his thought went, oh, such a degraded, low-class insect. He is in the dung. Vishta ke andar pada hua hai. But again, as he observed that insect, the earthworm, what does the earthworm do? He even transformed that dung into fertilizer. So this thought came into this person, oh, this worm also, actually he is so qualified. He is transforming this cow dung into fertilizer. Oh, vishta ko bhi khad mein badal raha hai. So he went to his guru and he told, I found somebody who is superior than me. Even an earthworm is superior than me. I am lower than the earthworm. And guru asked, why are you saying like that? So he told the guru, I saw the earthworm. He was transforming the dung into fertilizer. When I think of myself, when some good foodstuff coming in my contact, that foodstuff transform into dung. Agar main achcha achcha pakwan khata hoon, rasgulla, gulab jamun, samosa, mere contact mein aakar wo vishta mein parvartit ho jata hai aur ye jo insect hai, earthworm hai, ye vishta ko bhi khad mein badal raha hai jisse ki paudon ko poshan milta hai. So he is superior than me. So the guru became very pleased that now you have developed this humility in your heart. Now you are qualified to take diksha. So he gave diksha to that person. So the point from all these stories, which I mentioned, is to remove that sense of pride from the heart and develop that genuine humility in the heart. Seeing everybody more qualified than us, everybody superior than us and offering them respect. There is reason for us to offer respect to everybody. We can find some reason to offer respect to others. First reason is just having a human body. If somebody is born as a human being, that itself is a great boon, and we should respect every human being. Durlabha manava deha. This human form of life is very rare. If somebody has achieved this human form of life, that is to be respected. Then sabhyata maryada. If somebody is having great manners, even though somebody is not a devotee of the Lord, but he is having very good manners, unke andar achhi sabhyata hai, that also is the cause of offering respect to them. We should respect that person. Then sikshara maryada, somebody having a good educational background, having some nice degrees, we should offer our due respect. Sometimes we start thinking somebody as having some good material education, some PhD degree or some other this qualification, and we think, oh, what kind of this qualification? This is not going to give you bhakti in your heart. That is true, but somebody has acquired those higher degrees, that itself is also some great achievements in one sense. Sometimes we think of PhD degree in Sanskrit and becoming a Sanskrit scholar is not going to grant you bhakti to the Supreme Lord. But if somebody has studied that much, we should offer our respect. So Prabhupada, when he met so many different people going to some prestige universities, he will treat them very nicely, speak to them very nicely, and eventually trying to bring them to the process of bhakti. So sikshar maryada, offering respect to somebody, even having some material education, higher qualification. Then gyan maryada, somebody very knowledgeable person, somebody having lot of scriptural understanding, scriptural knowledge, gyanar maryada, even though that person may be junior to us in age, but because he is having lot of realizations, lot of knowledge, one should offer respect. Once Markandeya Rishi came in the gathering of the sadhus, and at that time Parashar Muni, he was just a 7-year-old boy, and he was sitting in the lap of his father. So Markandeya Rishi came there, he saw Parashar Muni, just a 7-year-old boy, and he offered Dandavat Pranam to Parashar Muni. So Parashar Muni started laughing and he asked Markandeya Rishi, you are such an elevated personality, you are so superior in age also and in knowledge also, and you are offering me Dandavat Pranam. Why is that? So Markandeya Rishi said, I can see your knowledge compared to the knowledge of all the people gathered here is like a vast ocean. So because of your knowledge, seeing that you are so superior in knowledge, I am offering my respects to you. So that is Gyaner Maryada. Offering respect to others, even though they may seem to be younger than us, junior than us, but they are very qualified in scriptural understanding. So when Shukdev Goswami came in the assembly where Parikshit Maharaj was asking all the sages to guide him in this last 7 days, so Shukdev Goswami was given the seat on Vyasasana to speak, even though so many other great sages were assembled there who were much more superior to him, much more elderly than him. Vyasadev himself was there, Narad Muni and all other great sages, but they all gave high respect to Shukdev Goswami. Because Gyaner Maryada. Shukdev Goswami is so learned, so much self-realized, and on top, he is the parrot of Radharani. Right? In his previous life, actually, he was the parrot of Radharani, and Radharani will hold Shuka in her hand and ask him, Krishna Vad, speak Krishna, speak Krishna. And that parrot will speak, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So he is a great qualified person. So that's why everybody is offering respect. So other reason to offer respect is Vyovriddha Maryada. Somebody is senior to us in age. Even though somebody may not be the same high level of platform of bhakti, but they are very senior to us in age. So we should offer them respect. In our congregation, we see so many devotees. They are not initiated. They may not be chanting 16 round, but they have been coming to the satsang program. They have been coming to the temple for so many years, 20, 30, 40 years. They are so much superior to us in age, and they have so much experience of this world. So because of their age, we should offer them respect. Varna Maryada, Ashram Maryada. So Varna Maryada is among the four Varanas. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So if somebody born as a Brahmana, having the higher Varana, he should be offered respect. Like the Pujaris in the temple, Pandas in the holy places. You go to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, there are Pandas. So one should not think, oh, these Pandas, what are they? I can go take darshan myself and I don't need anybody. Yes, we can do all that, but we should still offer our due respect to these pujaris, these pandas, who are higher to us in terms of varna. And ashram maryada, brahmacharya, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa, somebody has taken sannyas ashram, somebody has accepted sannyas, he deserves our respect. As soon as we see a sannyasi, actually we should fall flat on the ground and offer dandvat pranam. No matter what kind of sannyasi that person is. So Prabhupada used to meet many different sannyasis. Sometimes he will meet Mayavadi sannyasi also. But he will speak very nicely in front of them. He will offer them due respect. And once after meeting such a one of this Mayavadi sannyasi, after he was gone, he asked his disciple, why you guys did not offer him respect? He said, but Prabhupada, he was a Mayavadi sannyasi. So Prabhupada said, okay, that doesn't matter. He has accepted renounced order of life. That is itself qualify him to accept respect from others. So we should offer respect to everybody. Offer respect to the sannyasi. Ashram Maryada. So like that, there are so many different reasons for us to offer our respect to others. And a Vaishnava thinks himself always very humble, most insignificant in comparison to others. Vaishnava never thinks himself that, oh, now I have become superior. Now everybody else should offer me respect. I do not need to offer respect to others. Even though a Vaishnava is very learned, very qualified, very superior, he maintains that mood of thinking himself lower than others, most unqualified. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he composed this Sikshashtakama where he is glorifying the holy name. That Lord has manifested all the power, all the potency in his holy name. But I am so low class person. Durdevam idarsham ehijani nanuraga. I am so unfortunate that I do not have any taste for chanting the holy name. See, who is saying this? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying this. He is the Supreme Lord himself who came to spread the holy name. He disguised himself as his own devotee, but he is showing such a humble mood. He is saying, I do not have any taste for the holy name. I am so unfortunate. Durdevam. And same way, so many other great sages, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, who composed such a nice Vaishnava songs. In these songs, they are showing that genuine mood of humility. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Amito Durjana Ati Sada Durachar, Koti Koti Janme Mor Nakilo Udhar. I am so fallen. I am the most wicked person. Amito Durjana Ati Sada Durachar. I am engaged in always performing sinful activities. for millions and millions of birth, I have not been able to release myself from this tendencies. So who is speaking this? Bhakti Vinod Thakur, such a great Vaishnava, but he is thinking himself so low class that I am the most fallen, most wicked person. And Narottam Das Thakur also says same way. Goranga karuna karo deen heen jane. Mosama patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane. There is nobody more fallen than me in this whole three worlds. So please be merciful on me. And when the Lord sees such a humble mood of a devotee, so much sincerity in the heart, then Lord manifests himself in the heart. He reveals himself to such a devotee. And that's why we should follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. Without expecting respect from others, giving due respect to everybody. In that way, somehow, someday, we will be able to chant the holy name in that humble state of mind. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Harikatha, it cleanses the heart, it brings all the good qualities in the heart. So that should be our endeavor, to develop these good qualities by genuinely hearing this Harikatha, hearing Bhagavat Katha. Dhotatma Purushah Krishna Padamulam Namuchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantha Susharanam Yatha. So when Krishna has manifested in our heart, he purifies our heart, he removes all these sinful tendencies, bad qualities from our heart. What does a person do? So the effect of getting the heart cleansed, the effect is then the one does not want to leave the feet of Krishna. He wants to hold on to the feet of Krishna tightly. He feels completely satisfied in association of Krishna. So a sincere devotee, he is not concerned about any sort of difficulty in the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, in the process of sharing this knowledge with others, preaching activities. No matter how much discomfort, uncomfort may be there, inconveniences may be there, but a devotee always wants to engage himself in this process of Shravanam Kirtanam and in the process of sharing this knowledge with others. So the example, very beautiful example given here is Pantha Swasharanam Yatha. As a traveler, when it reaches home after a long journey, he feels that all the trouble of his travel has gone away, and being united with his family, he feels at home now. So same way, a devotee engaging in the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, serving the Supreme Lord, when he comes in association with the Supreme Lord, he feels at home. He forgets all the inconveniences, whatever he may have to face during that whole process. He feels at home and he holds on to the feet of Krishna so tightly that I do not want to leave your lotus feet anymore now. I want to hold on to it so tightly. Like a boat, when the boat is on the ocean at the beach, if the boat is not tied by any rope with the anchor, and if the high wind comes, this boat can be swept across the ocean. But if that boat is tied with the rope, with the anchor, no matter how much strong the waves come, the boat may shake little bit, but it will stay at its position. It will stay there, tied with the anchor. So same way, a devotee, he holds on to the feet of Krishna, and no matter how many disturbances come in life, he feel protected. He feel the safety offered by Krishna, the security offered by Krishna. So that's why we need to hold on to the feet of Krishna, hold on to this process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam so tightly that no matter the influences of this Kali Yuga may be, we may be disturbed by so many different news coming from various sides, this happened, that happened. But if we are holding on to Krishna tightly, then we can come across victorious throughout all these disturbances. These disturbances may not influence us. So, in that same song, Goranga Karuna Karo, Narottam Das Thakur says, Padechi Bhavatu Pahai, Padechi Bhavatu Pahane, Nahika Nistara, Sri Charanatarani Dane, Dasik Karo Para. That, oh my Lord, I am plunged in this violent hurricane in the ocean of this material world. So this material world is compared like an ocean on which the strong waves are coming like the hurricane. And we are caught up in this strong waves in this middle of this ocean. I don't see any escape from this. But holding on to your lotus feet, Shri Charana Tarini Dane, please give me the gift of your lotus feet so that your this servant can cross over this ocean of birth and death. Dase Karo Par, please cross your servant across this ocean of misery, ocean of birth and death. So by holding on to the feet of Krishna, we can be relieved of all these material suffering. That is the best gift we can get. The shelter of the holy name. Shelter of hearing Harikatha. Shelter of hearing Bhagavad Katha. We are so fortunate that we have come in contact with the sublime process of Shravanam Kirtanam. Every day we have the opportunity to chant the holy name. Every day we have the opportunity to engage in the process of hearing. In that process, we can uplift ourselves, remove the influence of all the bad tendencies, sinful reaction, sinful activities from our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And utilizing that process, we can develop all the genuine Vaishnava qualities in our heart. Starting with pridelessness, humility, which grants our entry into the spiritual kingdom. Because without these qualities, as long as we are having those simple tendencies, kama, krodh, lobha, moha, mad, matsarya, enviousness, lust, anger, we will be bound within this material world. But this process is so sublime, it can remove all these sinful tendencies, these anarthas from the heart, and fill our heart with all the great qualities. So this is how Shukdev Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying this process of hearing Bhagavad Katha. And after that, he is going to pose his next questions to Shukdev Goswami, which we'll hear in the next session. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Thank you very much. Please forgive me if I spoke anything wrong. So I'm speaking all this for myself. Somebody may think, oh, maybe Prabhuji is speaking, pointing it to some particular person. But no, that's all I'm speaking for myself. So that I can, with Krishna's mercy, may be able to develop genuinely that genuine mood, the genuine Vaishnava qualities in my heart. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any question, any comment,